traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Derby time, 2025. We got so many things going on here from the Kentucky Derby. It's scary. I'm telling you, it's real scary. You know, they got a point system for the Kentucky Derby now. You got to have at least 50 points to get in, and they got 26 races that they have across the United States and Europe and Japan to get into the Kentucky Derby. And let me tell you something. It's tough. Like we've been talking all year long, you know, where do you go with your horse on our how they get there program? You know, how do they get there? Well, you got to do the point system. And there's each track nowadays has two or three prep races at that track to get to their big race. Like in Arkansas, they've got three races to get to the Arkansas Derby, Florida, three races to get to Florida Derby, you know, so on and so forth. And what's exciting about that is that you got to play the point system. And let's say you get into Gulfstream and you get a few points, and it's pretty tough going there. You might want to go up to Arkansas to try to win the Arkansas Derby to get into, which that's where all the trainers and owners are at right now. They're all trying to figure out which race do they go to. Do they stay here at the Gulfstream for the Florida Derby? And where we're at now, we just finished up with the Tampa Bay Derby. So that was last week. But now going on into Churchill Downs to get those valuable points to try to get into the Derby. We've got the Virginia Derby coming up March 14th or 15th. We've got the Jack Ruby Stakes March 22nd. We have the Louisiana Derby March 22nd. The Florida Derby March 29th. The Arkansas Derby March 29th. And as you can see, these last few races to get into the Derby are going to be packed with the best that there is. Then we have April 5th, the Bluegrass Stakes. We have the Santa Anita Derby April 5th, the Wood Memorial April 5th, and the Lexington on April the 12th. So those are the last chances you have to solidify yourself as a Derby contender, depending on how many points you have. So the way it looks right now is we're going to have a whole lot of horses running in these races that we just talked about to try to get into the Kentucky Derby. And like I was saying before, you know, you have all these little prep races to come in, and we're to the point right now. We're to the point right now where some of these horses have to make a decision. Do I go to, you know, the Arkansas Derby, Florida Derby, what have you, and try to get into the Derby, or do I do a prep race to try to get into an undercard race on Derby Day and point towards the Preakness? Now, we got probably, I'd say, 15 horses right now that, you know, they're making that decision. They're trying to make the decision, do we go on to Churchill, do we keep, you know, going for it and try to do that, or do we maybe, you know, take a step back, hit one of the stake races on Derby Day that's an undercard for the Derby. You know, they got quite a few good races, $200,000-$300,000 races. Tighten the horse up and get him ready for the Preakness. Now, like last year, we have the Pat Day Mile on Derby Day. That's a great tightener for the Preakness. And, you know, then you're on your regular Derby schedule. You know, it's just this is the most crucial point in getting your horse ready for the Kentucky Derby. You've done all the races, all the preparations. You know, you've done everything that you could possibly do to get your horse ready, you know, for the Kentucky Derby. And this is what I call this Saturday, March the 15th, I call that Kentucky Derby Day. And the reason I do that is on March 15th, you have to pretty much have your mind made up if you're going on to Churchill. You got to pretty much have it made up. And then, of course, like I said, there's two or three more races before, you know, the Kentucky Derby that you can get points in. But the timeline is what's bad. It puts you, you know, racing real quick, then you got to turn around and you got to, you know, run the Derby 2-3 weeks later. And then the bad part about that is if you're shooting for the, or would like to go on to the Preakness, you know, you're going to have a horse that's raced, you know, two times, you know, pretty close to the Preakness start. So, like I said, all these tracks have done a lot of things here that's really helped the horse. For example, Colonial Downs tomorrow has a $500,000 mile and 1/8 Virginia Derby for 3-year-olds on the dirt. They've got a great card here. And some of the horses that, you know, that I was talking about that might be looking to go on to the Preakness, you know, are in this race. Dwayne Lucas has American Promise. He's a real nice horse. I think that that might be a possibility for him. Wayne likes to win the Preakness. And he's got this horse all primed and ready. If he goes on and if he runs in the top three here, then Wayne's going to have to make a decision whether to run in the Derby or the Preakness. You know, that won't come until Monday morning. We'll see how he comes out of the Virginia Derby here. So now, there's another horse in here, John Hancock, trained by Brad Cox. He's another nice horse. I don't think that he is a Derby horse. I think it's going to take him a while to recover from the Virginia Derby. Maybe on the undercard, possibility. That could be a possibility. And then I think maybe onto the Preakness right here. And like I said, American Promise with Dwayne Lucas, John Hancock could be two that would go, you know, go right on Derby Day undercard. I tell you, this Virginia Derby is going to be interesting. See, Baffert's got a horse called Getaway Car, and he's a real good horse. But, you know, I just don't know how he can hold up, you know, running on the 15th and then back on the first Saturday in May and then back to the Preakness. That's going to be awful taxing on that horse. You know, because, like you said, it's always a chance for the Belmont Stakes. Which at this type of stage of point, and until you get to the Derby, I eliminate all the horses that are running, even all the horses that are running in the Kentucky Derby. I take them out of the Belmont Stakes. It's a different animal trying to train to get to the Belmont Stakes. You know, so I just kind of throw all those out. That's why you don't see a lot of the horses that are running in the Derby or the Preakness going on to the Belmont Stakes. It's a tough road to go. They have him. So that Getaway Car for Baffert, he's a nice horse. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where he goes and how he goes with it. This horse is just kind of, I just don't really know about this. And this is the Kenny McKeith horse. It's a Render Judgment. He's a nice horse. He's still growing, I think. All these horses in this race are a little behind schedule, I think. That's why they're here. They're trying to step way into the Derby. And I think this is more of a Preakness race. It's going to be interesting. We're going to keep this on hand here and see how many of these horses run in the Preakness down the road. But I think that's where the Colonial Downs Virginia Derby winner is going to go. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this goes. And it's interesting because Colonial Downs is a great track. It's a beautiful track. Horsemen love it. And you got to remember that the people that have Colonial Downs are the Churchill Downs. So, you know, the track's going to be just right for it. And that track is a beautiful track there, you know, in Colonial Downs. It's a good track. But, you know, like I was saying before, this business is starting to really get to be a – you got to really plan it out, where you're going with your horses, how you're going there. Because there's a lot of money to be made in this business. And we finally kind of jumped over the, everybody would like to run into the Derby. That's everybody's, you know, it's a lifetime of chance and a chance of a lifetime. that you get to the Kentucky Derby. And a lot of times, people that are running in the Kentucky Derby, and I know I've been down the show many, many times in my career, seeing these owners and trainers going through this, trying to decide whether to go into the Derby. And in fact, back in the early 70s, I was talking to an owner, and he was so excited just to be running in the Kentucky Derby. And he literally said in front of the trainer and everybody there in the barn, "I don't care where we finish in the Derby, just as long as we're running in the Derby." You know, and I said, that's kind of, you know, kind of a sad thing to see. You know, it's good to be in the Derby. I mean, I loved it. Every time I've been around, you know, the horses that we had in the Derby, I loved it. But let me tell you, it's very disappointing, you know, after you run and you lose, because, you know, you think, well, maybe we could have won the Preakness or the Belmont. You know, that type of thing. And I tell you, it's really tough decision to make. They spend a lot of money on these horses, you know, and I don't think that I'm not the type of person that would want to run in the Derby just because, you know, it was the Derby. I'm the type of person, if I've got a shot at winning a race, you know, a legitimate shot at winning the race, then I say go for it. You know, but I just don't want to get in there and just run, you know, just to be running in the Derby. You know, that's not a good way to go. And right now we're down to a lot of great owners and great trainers now. I'm not saying that they weren't in the past, but now these trainers are smart. They're starting to, you know, kind of pick and choose where they go, you know, and how they run. You know, that's the main thing. Because you're looking at breeding rights for the stallions and you know, breeding rights for the mares. And you got to have build up a good resume, you know, for your horses to be able to do that. And you got to pick and choose. Sometimes you get a horse that'll jump out there on top real quick. And, you know, like Costantic, he jumped out there quick, did a real good job, you know, and next thing you know, what happens? You know, he's not racing anymore. You're going to end his career before he gets hurt, you know, or before anything happens. Or you know, the more you see a horse run, the more you know about the horse. And the best thing, the best salesmanship in the horse business is to know very little about the horse. If he goes out there and proves himself, you know, 1, 2, 3 over, you know, over a 2-year-old year and a 3-year-old year, retiring, send him off to the breeding chute. That's what you do with him. Because then that way, you know, there's a lot you don't know about the horse, speculation. You know, he could throw a horse that ran as good as he did and won what he did on the track. You know, that type of thing. But that speculation is right there for these owners. So these owners constantly have, you know, things on their mind, for example. You know, the owner, he's got to pick a trainer. He's got to buy a horse. You know, they pick a jockey. There's so many things that they have to do, you know, that would make that horse better. You know, you can have the best jockey in the world on your horse, but they don't fit together. You know, they just don't fit together. You can have, you know, a mediocre jockey on there, and next thing you know, he comes up and he wins the Derby on a mediocre horse. You know, it's just how they get there. And we don't know that until day by day by day, you know. And now a lot of these riders, you know, that we have here that are going in, for example, the Virginia Derby that we have going in here, they've got a lot of horses to look at, you know, and trainers that they're talking to. And the jockeys, they have to, you know, pick out who they're going to ride. And when they do that, they like to see a good horse, you know, which we all do, you know, go out to ride. But this is the thing. You might have a horse that's kind of, you know, in the top 10 for the Derby, but not, you know, setting the world on fire, could win it, but probably won't. And a lot of times the jockey has, you know, he takes that horse because he knows that if he rides that horse in the Derby for, you know, for the trainer and the owner, that there's going to be 20, 30 horses down the road that he's going to ride for that trainer and for that owner. You know, that's what they do. And so, you know, it's just kind of interesting. And I'll tell you, when you're looking at Mike Smith, he, you know, Mike Smith's been around a long time. He's going to ride John Hancock for Brad Cox in the Virginia Derby. He's been around, you know, and he knows he can get him there. He's got all the skills. He's got all the talent. You know, you can go. You can't go wrong with him. You know, that's for sure. You know, I'd ride him if I had a horse running. I'd ride him. He's a good guy. And then there's Irad Ortiz for Bob Back. You know, he's riding for Bob. And so, you know, he knows what he's got to do. Bob's got a lot of horses coming down the road. You know, Flavin Pratt's got Rapture for Brad Cox and Virginia Derby. He's a good horse, but I don't think Rapture is a horse that's going to come in and win a Derby. You know, I think he'd be a better shot at the Preakness or maybe the, you know, the Haskell or the Travers in the summertime. And see, that's what these trainers and jockeys are looking at right now. You know, they tend to focus strictly on the Derby when they got some talent and a horse. You know, and so do the owners. But realistically, you know, there's 20 horses in there that will be just as good as you are, if not better. There's 20 horses that are going to be in there that you're competing against. And I heard an old timer say one time, they asked him, they said, hey, would you rather win the Kentucky Derby or win the Travers, the, you know, the Haskell, the Florida Derby? And he named off like seven or eight races. And you know, I said, holy cow. And then he said, and the Breeders' Cup. And I said, man, oh, man. I said, that's a pretty big question there to ask. And I got to thinking about it from a breeding standpoint. You know, what does a buyer want? You know, it's nice to say, oh, yeah, my horse won the Florida Derby, the Travers, and the Breeders' Cup. You know, or my horse won the Kentucky Derby. And how many horses go on after winning the Kentucky Derby to be real good stallions and, you know, real good, you know, race horses? You know, it seems like it takes a lot out of it. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, it'd be great to have a horse win the Triple Crown or win the Derby. But then what do they do, you know, after that? Look at Secretariat, for example. Fantastic horse. One of the best horses ever. One of the best horses ever to run on a track. But when he got to the breeding shed, he didn't throw anything. There were the horses they were pulling out for him with nothing. You know, and it just goes to show you, you know, what can you do? They did everything right. He got all the big races. He did everything right that they could do, but when it came to the breeding end of it, it just wasn't good. You know, and they had a lot of horses to breed to and made a lot of money. But they didn't produce the money that they thought they were going to get, you know, and it was interesting. So, but that's the whole thing about the Derby trip. You know, you got to prepare. It takes you 6 months. Like right now, we got a lot of 2-year-olds that are running. And they're starting to, you know, look good. Some of them, you know, look good, looking pretty good. We got the sales in Ocala that just have a 2-year-old in training. You know, so literally, the Derby, you know, trail for next year is starting now. You know, you got to start getting your horses where you know, get them to first. You know, ideally, you get them to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and you can win that, and you know, kind of really refine it from there. Because you got to remember something. Here it is, you know, we're into March. Derby's coming up, and then September. The middle of September is your first Derby point race for 2026 Kentucky Derby. That shows you how fast it gets. You know, and a lot of those horses that ran in the Iroquois at Churchill, they're nowhere to be found now. Like, you can't find them anywhere. You know, they're not doing anything. You know, but again, it comes around to the training and breaking. You know, where do you go with your horse? Did they start too early with them, start too late? We've got a lot of horses that are running here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, you know, between now and April the 5th, that were late starters. They haven't run that much, trying to get some derby points to get in. And hopefully, you know, they will. But, you know, you've got a horse that's green and young. And, you know, you're getting ready to go in front of, you know, 150,000 people at Churchill Downs, some of the best horses in the world. to run against me. And that's tough to throw a young, you know, green horse into. You know, it's really tough. You know, but again, like I said, there's such a combination. You got to have the owner, the jockey, the trainer, all making these decisions, putting their input in. You know, what do they think? How do they think? You know, that type of thing. And it's going to be kind of tough to see what happens. You know, I tell you, if it were me, the best way to pick a Derby horse, put 20 numbers into a bowl, shake them up, pull one out, and then go with that horse. That's my theory on the Derby. Because I'm certainly not experienced enough, even though I've been in the business all my life, to say, you know, yeah, that horse is going to win the Derby or he's not. They all have a shot at it, you know, and I'd like to see certain horses win, you know, but that's just going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, with it. I tell you, there's a horse that I thought was kind of green. You know, he was kind of green, and good Lord, I said, what's going to happen with this horse? What's he going to do? How's he going to do it? You know, I just didn't know. And things gate to wire, top butcher horse. And I tell you, that horse is something else. He ran terrible. He ran terrible in the Fountain of Youth. Just ran terrible. And, you know, I expected more out of him. You know, I said, that's what I wanted to see. But it just didn't happen. And then Billy Mutt, which is used to bringing horses along slow, and his owners don't really, you know, push him on the Derby, you know, trail, unless the horse is ready. And, I'm sitting here thinking, you know what, that might be a nice horse. And sure enough, you know, Billy came up and he won that race. And Todd Fletcher ran second with the horse that I thought had no shot at it, and River James, and for Todd Fletcher. And he did pretty good, you know. But like I said, Billy Mott's one of those old school trainers. He's trained a lot of good horses at this day, world champion. And everything, but this horse that he's got now, I tell you what, this horse ran good, you know, and I'm telling you, I said, I like, he's got Robbie, he's got Alvarado on him, and his Sovereignty is his name, and the horse is really good, but we didn't know that prior to the race, we didn't have a clue. You know, and that's where you think, yeah, how'd that happen? What did I miss? You know, that's what I always look at these races and say, well, what do I miss after these races have been run? I'll tell you another race, too, that it was really surprising. Well, it wasn't surprising because Mike McCarthy is a great trainer. He is, I mean, really a great trainer. He had a journalist in San Anita Derby. Last week, and this horse can really flat out run. He's good. No telling how good he could be. Whether he can get a mile and a quarter, I don't know. I just don't know if he can. Because you know, at Churchill, the first time the horse runs down the track, that's the trainer, the jockey, you know, and the breeding. On it, coming down the track the first time when they come out of that gate. But when they hit that second turn and they're coming down a second time, that's the breeding of the horse running down the track. All the other things don't have a part in it. It's the mother, it's the sire, and the dam of that horse that's running down the track. You put those two things together, and if they can get the distance and they've got the strength and everything, that's who wins the Derby. It's not the trainer, it's not the jockey, it's not the horse, it's the sire and the mare and all the bloodlines that are there. And, you know, so journalism is not a nice horse. McCarthy's really good. He's a good trainer. He's real quiet. You don't hear much about him. But then in that race, too, they had Bob Backer horse, I think. And a Bob Backer horse is in there. you know, they were in second, third, and fourth. And we don't know where they're going to surface up. But I think the three horses that Bob Baffert had in there, I think those are going to be horses that are going to be on the undercard at Churchill and in the Preakness. That's my pick. And Bob's going to have three, four horses that he's pointing on towards the Preakness that he'll have there. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And I'll tell you, Bob's got a lot of good horses this year. I mean, he does every year. But these are just a little bit different than they are most of the time. This time of year, he's got some that are really polished and really ready to roll. And I think it's his races to pick and choose to make a lot of money. And I think that's what he's going to do for his people this year. He's going to have a lot of horses that are going to make a lot of money. And, you know, they'll all be pointing towards the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby and, all the other races, you know, undercard races. I think they'll be good. I don't think he has the Belmont horse yet. I haven't seen any in his stable to do that at all. So, but, you know, it just makes you wonder, how do these guys get it? How do they do it? You know, how do they do it? I just really don't know. So now that we've kind of gone through that and bored you with that and everything, we're going to talk about the public getting involved in the horse business. The horse business is really a great business to be in. I've been in it all my life, and I really enjoy it. I like thinking about things like the Derby, and you know, like right now, I'm all excited about the Derby coming up. And we got the Santa Anita Derby coming up, and they have the Santa Anita Oaks, and they got all the Pimlico races coming up. They got everything, you know, ready to go, and it's exciting. What I like about it is it's not like golf or bowling or, you know, whatever you want to do outside, jogging or whatever. I like it because I'm to the age now to where I really appreciate my downtime. And I can sit here at the computer or go out to the track and watch the horse and race and, you know, and things like that. But there's a new thing that's come on. Well, it's actually not new. It's been around for quite a few years. It's called MyRacehorse.com. And they sell micro shares in horses. And you can get in for a couple of $100 and you're a part owner. And what I like about it is, at the racetrack, my racehorse, they have parties at the racetrack when they have horses racing. You know, all the owners come down to go to the clubhouse where all the owners sit at. And, you know, they can watch the horses. They go down to the paddock. And if you win, you can get your picture taken. You know, and you own just as much of that horse as the guy that owns 99% of it. You know, you own a percentage of it, and therefore you're deemed an owner. They don't ask you when you go to the track, and you say, I'm an owner, and come in. How much do you own of that horse? They don't say that. They just say, welcome, owner, come on in. And it's really a great thing to do. It's fun. It's exciting. I know a lot of people that are in my racehorse, and you don't know how many times they can, oh, so-and-so's running, you know, in New York on Saturday, you know, and then another person will say, oh, well, my horse is running in San Diego, you know, or Cincinnati, or Santa Anita, you know. They run from all the small tracks to all the big tracks. And, you know, Seize the Gray won the Preakness last year. And all those owners were really excited because now they are legitimately an owner of a Preakness winner, you know, and it's a great thing to do, to get involved with. That's MyRacehorse.com, and if you go to their website, you can see what all they have and what all they offer. And they offer hats and shirts and jackets, you know, that you can get with your horse's name on it. They have great, the win pictures they have are fantastic. You know, you get your win picture from whenever they run. It's got your name on it, and as an owner, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's what the horse racing industry needs. Is they need to get out to get people, you know, involved. And that's like here with me, International Equine Network. We're slowly developing a system here to get out equine information, like I just said about mybracehorse.com. You know, we're getting that information out, and the information I'm putting out here at IENTV.org goes to the people that don't know a lot about horse, and it also goes out to people that know a lot about horse. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is get this type of information out to build our industry up. Now, like at the Virginia Derby tomorrow, they've had a good week this week there. I mean, it's just really nice weather there. It's, by Richmond, Virginia. When you go there, there's so many things that you can go to. And the reason they call it Colonial Downs is because you're in with a lot of American history, you know, like Jamestown and things like that are just, you know, 20 minutes away from it. And so whenever you go for the Virginia Derby, you've got so much to do, you know, historical, a lot of tourist things to do there. And so it's just much more than horse racing, you know, when you get involved. But the horse racing is what's going to draw you to that area. And when you get to that area, then, you know, you can go visit and see all the historical sites that they have there, you know, like Jamestown and all the other cool things that they have there. And the same thing in Kentucky. When you go to Kentucky, that's coming up here in a couple of weeks in April. They have the three-day event there. And it's amazing what they have there. Three-day eventing is where they go ride cross-country, and they do the jumps over the steeplechasing, basically what it is. So they've got that, and then the same horse does dressage and Grand Prix jumping. So, you know, it's a three-day deal when you go there. You can watch those horses run and do the three-day event. Then they have polo there. It's a week-long thing. The last day of the Kingman meet, they have a big sale there of horses that they have. So you're there 4 or 5 days in a row, you know, and a lot of it, you know, I mean, it's all centered around the horse, but the thing of it is you've got other things to do, you know, to do there. And being in the middle of April like that, that leads into May, in which the Kentucky Derby Festival is 10 days long. And so you got the hot air balloon races, the big paddle wheel steamers racing on the river. You got everything there. The balloon glow. You got the fireworks, the largest fireworks in the United States there. Lasts about 45 minutes long. So, you know, you just have everything that's there. And same thing when you go to the Preakness at the Pinnacle. Their week festival there, they got one of the best artist shows in the world. It started out for very little and, really small. And now it's huge. They had over 200 artists submit pictures and paintings that they've done for the festival. And then all the money goes into that community there around Pimlico. They're rebuilding Pimlico, and they're just making it a real nice tourist attraction, making it good for the American public, you know, to go and visit and spend 2 or 3 days. Just not, you know, come in on Saturday and leave on Saturday. You know, that's what they're trying to get done. And I like that. It's exciting, you know, to see that community, you know, building it up. And, you know, like they did at Belmont, like they did at Churchill, they did at Ellis Park, all these places that they've gone to, they're rebuilding. They're investing into it, you know, from the state and the community to make it so it'll be good for them. That's what they're all trying to do. And it makes it good for the people. And what I like about it is that they make it available that you don't have to know a lot about horses. And like the Kentucky Derby Museum, for example, you don't have to know a lot about horses. But when you go into that museum, you can walk and stand in a starting gate that they use to start the horses in the Kentucky Derby. You can see what it feels like, you know, what the jockeys are looking at, what the horses are looking at. Then they have, you know, things in there like how do you shoe a horse. You know, it's got everything about breeding. It's got a great section on how the jockeys, when they first started out in the Kentucky Derby, all the jockeys and trainers were black, in the historical factor that they have in the Kentucky Derby. You know, it's amazing what they do there. They just go through and show you a little bit of everything. You know, they talk about how the Garland of Roses is made for the winter. You know, the people. It's $1 billion a year industry. And the horse industry supports a lot of different things. And they employ thousands of people in the community. A lot of these people that work in the horse business, sometimes they'll have extra jobs. They'll be working at Walmart, McDonald's, Burger King, you know, the gas station, the grocery stores, you know, that type of thing. They contribute a whole lot of money to the community. When they come in, they're buying gas, they're buying food, they're buying renting houses. You know, they're doing all these. And so once you get involved in it, you'd be surprised how much of your life right now would be involved in getting ready for the Derby. You know, like, for example, we got a thing that we do. It's called a Triple Crown Tradition. It's about the traditions of the Triple Crown. For example, in Kentucky, it's barbecue and burgoo. And they got a lot of great, you know, recipes. And, you know, the Derby pie that they have, and it's one of the best pies you'll ever have. It's a secret recipe, and you have to get on a waiting list months in advance to get a Derby pie. And then they'll give you a date and a time to be at the facility in Kentucky and Louisville there, and you get in a huge line. And, you know, sometimes there'll be 20 or 30 cars in line, and you give them your number, and then they give you your Derby pies, and you've made the big score, you know, which is really good. And then you got a barbecue all over Louisville, the good restaurants. You got everything, you know, there food-wise. And it's really a good family outing to go to. And you don't have to know about horses. All you got to do is like food, you know, that type. And then you go to Pimlico. Pimlico's got one of the best seafood festivals ever there. I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing. The seafood that they have there and the food that they have there at Pimlico and all around the area, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. The restaurants they have there at the Harvard, you know, in Baltimore. You know, so that's when. And then when you go to get to the Belmont, you know, they got a lot of high-end food. You know, they got a lot of chefs, French pastries, and you know, it's just a smorgasbord of high quality, high end, you know, foods. But on the other hand, they got good foods too, like burgers, pizza, you know, Italian food, you know, that your everyday kind of food that I like, you know, and that. But it offers, you know, a little bit of everything. And especially with the Belmont this year, again, it's going to be held at Saratoga. They're holding it there because they haven't finished up remodeling and rebuilding Belmont Park. Belmont Park's going to be a place to behold when you want to go. If you're a sports enthusiast, you're going to have a little bit of everything there for you at Belmont Park. And I'm telling you, you won't want to leave it. You will not want to leave it. It's going to be probably one of the premier sporting venues in the country. When they get it up and get it going. And that'll be Saratoga. Belmont's Saratoga again this year, which is the first week of June. And that place in itself is fantastic. If you've never been to the races, I would suggest my first trip would be to go to Saratoga. You can walk around the barn areas. You can get a picnic table there by the trackside and watch the races. You got the barn tours in the morning. You can get on a little tram, and they take you all through the barn tours. They got downtown, which has got the greatest bagels and breakfast shops all over town. They got food everywhere. You got the Saratoga Springs. You've got Saratoga, you got SPAC, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center there, which is just unbelievable and fantastic. All summer long, they've got concerts there all summer long. I saw the Philadelphia Philharmonic do the 1812 Overture there. And I did not know what was coming on. I was laying out with my girlfriend. We were laying out on the lawn there. It's a big hill that goes down to the amphitheater. On our blanket, we got cheese and crackers and wine and just really enjoying the evening. And they started the concert. And I was surprised, you know, you could hear very good. And then all of a sudden, when they got to the battle scene in the overture, they had real cannons on both sides of the area down there, the seating area, that were real cannons. And they started shooting those off. It scared me to death. I didn't know what the heck was going on. But it's things like that you can go up there and see. They got the they got the ballet there that's unbelievable. They got great restaurants. They got the Saratoga Springs. The water there is just fantastic. You're not that far, you know, from Lake Placid, Lake George. So all the things that we talk about here, you know, we're giving out information about the horses. And, you know, you said, well, what's Lake George got to do with the horses? Well, that's where a lot of the owners and a lot of the trainers and a lot of the jockeys all live. They go up to Lake George and, you know, they have houses there, you know, 4 or 5 months out of the year. You know, and it's a great place to go. It's good for kids, very, very historic. You know, and it's really good. And so every track you go to, you know, they have something like that. You know, New York, Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas. You know, you get down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and a lot of good camping there, a lot of good food, barbecue, a lot of historical things that, you know, you can go see there, which is really good. Get down to the fairgrounds in New Orleans, you know, and look and see the mighty Mississippi River and see, you know, just all the history that's in New Orleans. You know, there's just so many things like that. And that's what we try to do here. We try to get out information about, you know, the horse industry. And, you know, you can go, if you want to get involved as an owner, you know, get on myhorseracing.com. You know, that's how you got it too. And it's really good, you know, for that. And you go to your Google and all your areas that you want to go to, you know, horse racing. You Google horse racing for Evansville, Indiana, and we have, you know, Ellis Park there. And then that's a great, great city to go to. It's the old riverboat days there, you know, at Ellis Park in Evansville. They got a lot of hotels and good casinos there in Evansville. And what's unique about Ellis Park is years ago they had the river there cut up into, they had floods and everything, and it cut up into, you know, both sides of the river. Well, when the river receded down there, Ellis Park is on the other side of the river. They weren't on the Kentucky side anymore. They were on the Indiana side. But they still, you know, say Ellis Park, St. Kentucky and everything. But, you know, can you imagine going to a place and seeing, you know, a racetrack, you know, a little town there, and then you look over there and see the river, and they said, hey, we used to be off that other side of the river, you know, before the flood. And there's so many things like that that you can go see everywhere, you know, at the end of the business. And there's festivals that they have. And, you know, everything that you do. But, you know, I'm just trying to get you, you know, get informed on that. So maybe you'll go out and see, you know, or Google. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest tourist. That basically, remember the old AAA books, when you call, they give you a map on where to go and how to go and all the things around it. That's what we're trying to do here on IENTV.org. Is get people involved with it. Get them to buy horses. Get them to go to the races, you know, get them to meet the jockeys and the owners of the trainers. You know, like it's exciting for us because today, for me, for example, here at Sunshine Meadows and Palm Beach Downs, we had a lot of celebrities here. Over the last week, we've had people like Tom Brady, Sam Bowie, Scott Miller. Yeah, he's here every day. And I'll be glad to take you on a tour of the farms and introduce you to the people, you know, that are out here. In fact, we got one horse out here. His name's Peanut. Victoria Jackson has him over at Laurel Lane Farm. And he's probably one of the most famous horses here in Wellington. And they produced a lot of Olympic people out of Wellington. But he's 32 years old, and he's still showing at Wellington. He's shown at Wellington 29 years in a row. Can you imagine that? 29 years in a row, Victoria has shown Peanut in Wellington. And every time we get people here, I tell them, you know, you just go over and take a look. You know, at Peanut, and they go over and they have their pictures taken with them. We had people over from Ireland that just thought he was the greatest thing in the world. And they were videoing him live back to Ireland, you know, and they were all the people in Ireland were, you know, hey, Peanut, how you doing? How you doing? But see, it's things like that that we do, you know, here at Sunshine Meadows and Delray Equestrian and Palm Beach Downs. We've had 5 Kentucky Derby winners out of Palm Beach Downs. We know the last 2 we had was Super Saver and Always Dreaming for Todd Fletcher. And, you know, so those 2 were the most recent ones, you know, that we've had. And we've got a lot of good show horses up here that are great. You can come out in the mornings and look me up. Just ask for Scott, and everybody knows where I'm at. You tell me, and I'll take you around and show you the farm. And you'll see the horses training for the shows up in Wellington, at Devlin, in New York, Kentucky, Europe. You know, we've got quite a wide range of nationalities here. We've got some of the best standardbred horses in the world here. Hamiltonian winners are trained here. We've had, you know, the Little Brown Jug winners here, Breeders' Crown winners here. The jockey or the drivers and the owners are all here. And you can literally come up here and pull up to the side of the track, and sit in your car, and watch these horses train. You know, internationally known horse. You know, and it's really nice. It's a good family. It's a good family. But I'm still waiting for somebody to send in to IENTV.org. I'm waiting for them to send in to my website their derby doings, their recipes, their famous recipes that they do. You know, that's what I'm looking for. You know, or you can call me anytime you want. I'll be glad to talk to you, especially on the recipes. Other stuff would come old mundane for me, but if you would call in to me, I would really appreciate it. This is my office number here. It is 728-888-2963. 728-888-2963. And let me know what your thing is, what you do for Derby, how you do that type of thing. But, you know, I'm having a hard time getting out to people because they always doing something, going somewhere. But it's about exposure, and that's what I like about BBS. They go to so many countries, so many stations. You know, they just do a great job, and they got a lot of variety. They're kind of like the IENTV.org of the horse world with the radio world. They get a little bit of everything there. And all the people that we surround ourselves here at IENTV.org, let me tell you, these are people that are well balanced. They got a lot of things going on, you know, and that's what it's all about, is expanding, you know, your ability to retain information from everybody around you. You know, like me, with I've learned a lot about the standard breeds, the show horses. We've got good AQHA rodeo people here. We've got all that, you know, from the young kids up to the very old timers, you know. And so that's what we're trying to do here at the INCV.org. So what I'm going to do is, if you call me any Friday at 323-744-4831, I will give you a Kentucky Derby glass, the 151st Kentucky Derby glass giveaway is what I'm going to be doing. And we'll see how many we have at Derby Day and given away at Derby. You know, or you can call me, you know, here at, you know, at INCV.org. That would be, you know, more than acceptable. I just want to give away a Derby glass because I've got too many to. Nobody called me. I got to put them up in my trophy case, and I got more glasses than I do trophies. You know, but you can call me at 728-888-2963. And somebody step forward and be the one. Who knows? I might take you to the Derby with me this year because I need to get somebody to go with me to the Derby this year and everything. But no, just call, get into the horse business. Call My Horse Race. Racehorse.com. Call them. You know, you'll find out everything. We've got some good programming coming up this weekend that we'll have live. We've got the Virginia Derby will be live this weekend. We've got Oakland Park racing. We've got racing from Santa Anita this weekend. Let's see what else we've got. Oh, we got international racing. That we have Sky Sports over in Europe. You know, we'll have that, which is really good to see the European race and have fun with that. It's different over there. It's a little bit different. They really crazy. They race mostly on the grass over there, no dirt. And so we do that. And then on the website, you know, it's got things about the Derby. It's got the Triple Crown tradition that you'll be able to look at. You'll be able to, the one piece that we have on there now is about the Kentucky Derby, why the Derby. And it goes through and it gives you the history of the Derby. And then we have a nice piece on there about Todd Fletcher. Todd's one of the best trainers in the world, wins just about everything. He's got he's got maybe two or three horses from the Derby this year that will be on there. And it's how he starts off his day from 4:30 until the time he quits in the morning over there, what he does and how he does. You know, they do that. But we got a lot of good stuff on there, I think, that you'd like to see. I tell you what, the one segment on there that a lot of people have been telling me they really like is about the jockeys from the Derby. There's been, you know, a few minutes there on the jockeys from the Derby. So, you know, we'd like to see you take a look at that. You know, we just have a lot of things on there that you'll enjoy. And we can do that. But I tell you what, I'm getting excited now because now is the time that I'm going to barbecue for my dinner tonight. And I'm going to look at the horses over from the Virginia Derby tomorrow on the Virginia Oaks and see how far off I am. You know, see how far away I am from knowing what I think I know, and that's gonna be the hilarious part. You'll hear me laughing tomorrow. I'm gonna pick a few horses and see what they can do, and you know, kind of go from there. And if they do real bad next week, I ain't gonna talk about it. I'm just gonna say a bad weather situation and everything. But no, folks. Start looking, Googling in your area. You know, Google equine or horses for your area, and you'll be surprised what's in that area, what's in your area that you didn't even know about. It's like here at Sunshine Meadows. We're out on 441 in south of Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach. And we're right on the Delray Boca Lawn. And you don't know how many people have said, we didn't know you were out here, because our sign out front says Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. And every one of them, I have not heard anybody tell me anything about horses. They said they thought it was a housing complex, you know, condo complex, because they see the word village. That's the last word that's on the sign, and they see village, and they think it's just a regular, you know, housing development. And it's not. We're 175 acres of farmland, and we've got them. We've got 700 stalls. Here we have we've got trail riding horses. We've got standard bred sulking horses. We've got show horses. And then we just got regular, you know, regular horses here. And then we're just a couple of miles away from our thoroughbred facility, which is 175 acres also. And we have 160 horses over there. Todd Fletcher has all his horses over there in the wintertime with us. And then he's getting ready to take up to Kentucky, which will be in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so we got those over there. He, all the Derby horses and everything in there. And then we have the Delray Equestrian. It's off Smith Sunday Road in Atlantic Avenue, which is 2 or 3 miles from, you know, from this side here. And they have a lot of show horses and AQHA horses and barrel racers, you know, that type of thing over there. And so, you know, we're kind of close to a little over 1,000 horses that we have here. And, you know, anybody who wants to come out here and see them, you visit them, I'll take them around, show them everything, and, you know, introduce them to the horse industry. And I'll tell you a lot of places to go. Hey, and you know what the great thing about it is down here, speaking of the horse industry and getting information out there, we have a place called Flanagan's. It's down on, in Wellington on South Shore at 441. And you would be surprised at the people you see down there. You see Bo Derrick down there. You see Bruce Springsteen. You see Michael Matz, gold medal winner and trainer at Barbaro that won the Kentucky Derby. You know, you see all, you see me down there sometimes. You know, it's just loaded down here with all kinds of places to go and people to see. You know, and it's all in a natural setting, and you don't have to be, you know, real rich to go to these places. You know, you can be a poor guy like me and just go enjoy yourself. So, you know, we hope that you get a hold of us, go to the website, you know, and see what all we have, you know, for it. But the main thing is about, it's about getting information and distribution out there. And we're slowly getting close to what the way I want things. You know, our Derby weekend is going to be really good. We're going to have live racing on the website 3 days in a row, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There, all the races will be live. We have what they do, it's called Thurby, T-H-U-R-B-D-A-Y. It's the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby. And what Churchill does is they invite all the people, the local people. That's the local people's day at the track, and it's really a great day. You know, there you find out a lot about the area and everything. And then, of course, on Friday is the Kentucky Oaks, and that's all about the fillies, and it's all filly racing that day, which is really good. And so that's nice. And then, of course, you got Derby Day on Saturday, and that's just an insane party. That, you know, that you just can't believe, you know, that it's there. And then we got a lot of good stuff there. Just to show you how getting information out about, you know, the horse business. You've got a guy in Louisville that has a restaurant, and he advertises every year. And this is a lot of the out-of-town people, you know, that are new to the horse business. He says, on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, meet the Derby winner. Meet the Derby winner at his restaurant. Come in. I mean, they pack that place. You know, he's got a great food, good breakfast, a good brunch, the whole nine yards, and they advertise the heck out of it. Meet the Derby winner. So at 10 o'clock when you get over there, he's got a barn there, and he pulls his horse out of the barn, and the name of the horse is the Derby Winner. And people just go crazy. You know, you see some people think they actually going to see the horse that won the Derby. You know, but that's the name of the horse, and they've been doing that for years. It's called the Derby Winner. So, you know, if you want to know anything about the horse business, just call me. You know, I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. Email me, go to the website and email me, and, you know, we'll go there. So I hope you have a good horse experience this weekend, next weekend, and I hope that horse experience involves coming down here to see us in Delray Beach, Florida. Be glad to take it. It costs nothing to come on to the farm and see them. It's all free, and I'll tell you all kinds of stories about all the horses you see, Peanut. The Wonder Horse, 29 years in a row of showing at Wellington. So, next week, guys, tune in. We'll have video next week. We got all of our problems corrected here. The guys are definitely in the right spot. And we'll have video, and you'll see some of the things that we have here. We got a lot of drone footage of the farm. And I think you'll like it. So, hope you guys tune in next Friday, 2 o'clock.